Well, good morning, folks, and welcome to another edition of Focus on Health, brought to you by Van Deese Medical Center, where their focus is you. And in the studio, we have live joining us today, Lori Foster from Van Deese Medical Center. Lori, good morning to you.
Good morning to you too, Pat, and welcome back.
Well, yes, my first day back here after a little week off celebrating birthday number 65, the Medicare age, and so on and so forth.
Yeah, but it's big birthday.
Yes, it was.
Happy belated.
Yes, very nice time out east, but glad to be back.
Well, we're glad to have you back.
Thank you very, very much. So we're here to talk all about eating today. We have Christy Zweifel will be joining us in a few minutes, but Lori, a lot of busy things going on at Van Deese Medical Center, especially some new faces coming to the hospital, am I right?
So very true, Pat.
Yeah.
We have a lot of great things happening at Van Deese Medical Center.
Mm-hmm.
I have a few announcements I'd like to make, and then we have some events coming up that I'd also like to share with our listeners. First of all, I have mentioned we do have a new general surgeon that has joined our team, Dr. Anna Suya Abraham. And she is a delightful addition to Van Deese Medical Center. She is a general surgeon, like I mentioned, and treats diseases of the small and large intestine. She does colonoscopy, endoscopy. She does hernia surgeries, appendectomies, thyroid surgery, lymph node biopsy, and she also does chemotherapy port placements. So those general procedures and surgeries, and like I said, welcome addition to our team.
Indeed.
And so I do want to mention that the month of March is also colorectal cancer prevention month. And colorectal cancer is the second leading cause of cancer-related deaths in the U.S. And so if you're 45 years or older, talk to your doctor about a colon cancer screening. Colonoscopy, as I mentioned, is one of the tests and surgeries, I should say, a procedure that our general surgeon performs. It really is the gold standard for screening tests. And so consider getting your colonoscopy scheduled. You can call the surgery department at 515-832-7746 to schedule your screening today.
Sounds good.
Yes. And then we're very excited. We have some new orthopedic services that are coming to our specialty clinic out at the hospital. We are partnering with Iowa Ortho out of Des Moines. To start off with, we have a spine specialist and a hand specialist joining us. Dr. Brett Rosenthal is an orthopedic spine specialist, and he specializes in the treatment of disorders of the cervical, thoracic, and lumbar spine. He will be seeing patients the second and fourth Wednesdays of each month, and he is starting on March 27th. And then Dr. Scott Shumway is a hand and upper extremity specialist. He treats all orders of the bones and soft tissues from the fingertips to the elbow. He has been practicing since 1988. He will start to see patients the second and fourth Thursdays of each month, beginning March 28th. So that last week of March, we are taking appointments for both Dr. Rosenthal and Dr. Shumway. Again, you can call that same number, 515-832-7746, to schedule an appointment today. And then a few announcements of events that we have coming up. The next Webster City Community Blood Drive is actually, it's tomorrow, and it is from 12:30 to 5:30, and it's going to be held at Faith United Methodist Church. I would encourage you to visit lifeservebloodcenter.org to schedule your appointment, and appointments are encouraged. And then, once again, at the end of the month, the Van Deese Medical Center Foundation will be hosting a community Easter egg hunt. This is the second year. Last year was the first year that we did it. And if you can believe, it was April 1st last year, and we had snow on the ground.
Just only teens, I believe, of snow.
Yes, it was a chilly day. But we
had, on a Saturday, I remember that much.
Yes, it was a Saturday morning, but we had a great turnout, and we're hoping for the same this year. It will be held actually the weekend of Easter. So it's Saturday, March 30th this year. 10 o'clock out at Van Deese Medical Center. And we'll have four different hunts for different age groups. We'll also have a sensory-friendly and adaptive hunt for those kids and young adults with disabilities to participate. So mark your calendars and plan to join us for that Easter egg hunt on the 30th.
All right.
And then the Van Deese Medical Center Auxiliary, once again, is offering four $1,000 scholarships to 2024 high school graduates or those individuals that are returning to further their education in the medical field. The application can be found on our website. Go to vandeestmc.org. And I do want to mention that the deadline for that application is April 15th. So a wonderful opportunity. And applicants must be a resident of Hamilton County or a graduate of any of the high schools within the county or be working or have a parent working at Van Deese Medical Center.
All right.
Yes. And then lastly, I'm going to give a plug for our new podcast channel. You can access it directly by going to vdmc.podbean.com, or you can go to our website, once again, vandeestmc.org, and you can select Focus on Health under the News and Events tab. So other ways to listen are through your favorite podcast app. You could go to Amazon Music / Audible, iHeartRadio, Spotify, and I have Spotify, and it's there. Google Podcasts and Apple Podcasts. So we will be sharing more information when we have new episodes up there. We currently have two episodes, and those are Jade Williams sharing her journey navigating ovarian cancer. So I encourage you to check that out.
Well, it's also on our KKWC podcast page, too.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
Great to hear.
Because we put that on our website at kqradio.com, and this episode that we're doing right now, that'll be posted later on this Wednesday morning. We're doing this live on Wednesday the 13th. So this will also be on our KQWC podcast page at kqradio.com.
Super. Yeah. Thank you, Pat.
Absolutely.
We do have people that sometimes miss the live show and so like to be able to catch it at a later time.
Yeah. Of course, we have the SALT meeting coming up soon on the 4th of April, I believe. We'll talk more about that. That first Thursday in April.
The first Thursday in April, we will have the SALT meeting. I do know it's going to be held in Jewell.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to be talking about scams, but I'm waiting on some details for the announcement to get the information out. But hopefully we'll have more information even next week to share about the SALT meeting.
We'll look forward to that.
Yes.
Okay. Any other announcements of note there, Lori?
No. I got to save time for this great topic.
Yes. We're talking all about food.
Yes.
So we got Chrissy Zweifel, who's joined us today, dietitian from Van Deese Medical Center.
That is correct. Thank you, Pat.
Absolutely.
March is National Nutrition Month, and it is always a delight to have our registered dietitian, Chrissy Zweifel, join us during the month for this program and this topic. And actually, today is National Registered Dietitian Nutritionist Month. So congratulations,
day. It's my
day. It is her day. The second Wednesday in March is Registered Dietitian Nutritionist Day. So it is a great time to have Chrissy join us on the program.
Thank you.
Good morning to
you.
Good morning. Thanks for being here.
Yes, no problem. Well, I'll jump right in here. Well, National Nutrition Month is a nutrition education and information campaign sponsored annually by the Academy of Nutrition and Dietetics. The campaign focuses on the importance of making informed food choices and developing sound eating and physical activity habits. So this year, they have a theme, a different theme every year. So this year, the theme is called Beyond the Table. So thinking beyond the table, they take into account the farm-to-fork aspect of nutrition. So that includes, you know, food production to distribution, to grocery stores, to farmers markets, to food home safety, food storage. So today I'd like to talk beyond the table about eating right and reducing food waste. So people rarely talk about the food that we toss out, yet the topic of food waste is getting a lot more attention these days. It's estimated that Americans throw away billions of pounds of food each year, either at home or when you go out to eat. And that amount doesn't even include the food that goes uneaten at the grocery store or the crops that are left in the farmer's field. So not all food that is wasted can be saved or eaten, but it's proven that a lot of food waste could be prevented, especially at home. So a good place to start is right in your own kitchen.
So let's talk about what are some of the tips that may help all of us.
Yeah, one is just planning meals based on the food that you already have on hand. So we all have food in our refrigerators, freezers, our pantries. that need to be used up. So instead of going to the grocery store and getting all new groceries to make a meal that night, take an inventory of what you have at home and base your meals on that to get rid of some of your supplies. And you might have to make a list of ingredients that you still need so you can go to the grocery store and buy those, but try to use up that food that you already have. Another thing is buy only the amount of perishable foods that can be eaten or frozen within just a few days. This is especially true for foods like fresh fruits and vegetables, meat, dairy products, and seafood. So I know I'm kind of guilty of this. I go to the grocery store every week, and I look at that fresh produce, and it all looks so delicious, and so I load up.
I was going to say the same. It does. You get to the store, and it does look so good.
Yep.
But I really think about, you know, the next week. You
yes.
know, what are the meals that I need to plan for?
Right.
Do I have some other commitments, and I might not be eating at home
right.
so that I don't purchase,
yes.
you know, some things that will not get eaten that might get spoiled before I get
Absolutely.
To them.
Absolutely. You do have to plan ahead for sure so mm-hmm. you don't throw things away. I think of like bananas, for example. You know, they always have them in such a big bunch, but I know I'm not going to eat that many bananas. So I try to only buy two or three at a time because I know they're just going to spoil. So another thing is planning meals ahead, like you mentioned. And food prepping is a good technique to reduce food waste. And also, it helps you save some money. So one thing I do occasionally is I'll kind of go through my refrigerator and I see kind of what vegetables I have left. And before those go bad, I cut them all up and I roast them. And then I have them in my refrigerator for meals. Maybe I just use it for a side. Maybe I'll put it with some pasta or some chicken and some tomato sauce. But that makes a quick and easy meal. And you're using up those foods that otherwise would go bad.
That is a great idea. And I have to say that, gosh, especially the vegetables that get placed
yes.
into one of my drawers. Out of sight, out of mind.
For sure.
So need to be checking those because it is easy to,
yes.
just like you say, you know, cut them up and saute mm-hmm. them and have them ready and you can add them to any meal.
Yes, absolutely. Yep. And getting creative with those leftovers. Like I mentioned, cutting up the vegetables and cooked meats. You can stick them in soups and salads and sandwiches. You know, wrap them up in a tortilla or a pita for a sandwich. Or like I mentioned, the soup, if you're not, you know, in the mood for soup right then, you could always make it and then freeze it for another time. It usually lasts about 3 to 4 months in the freezer. Or, you know, of course, eating that leftover meal later in the week or take it to work or school, you know, for a leftover meal. The next thing is mastering the shelf life of food. So many foods and drinks purchased at the grocery store include a date, which indicates when it should be used or sold by. Because these dates refer to the quality of the product, it doesn't necessarily mean you have to throw them out. So the use by, best by, best before dates are found on foods such as mustard, salad dressings, ketchups. These products usually don't need to be refrigerated until they're opened. In many cases, they are safe to eat beyond the date as long as you have them stored properly. There's also the sell-by date, and that's usually displayed on perishable foods like meats and dairy products. If possible, these foods may be used a few days after the date as long as they're stored at safe temperatures. And I think of like dairy products. Typically, they say dairy products you can use up to about 7 days after that date that's on the product. So, but of course, you need to use common sense.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you see that it's not looking good or smelling good,
right.
then throw it out. So, you know, we always say, when in doubt, throw it mm-hmm. out. So don't be risky about eating and drinking anything that's suspected that it's spoiled. But eating leftovers within 3 to 4 days is a good goal. And if you don't think you're going to get to it by then, throw it in the freezer. A lot of those things will freeze well for about 3 to 4 months. Test your food safety knowledge and find out if it's time to toss those foods out by downloading the USDA Food Keepers app. I know I have that on my phone, and it's just really convenient. You just go to the app, and they have lots of different topics here that are categories, I should say, baby food, baked goods, beverages, condiments, sauces, canned goods, dairy products, and eggs. So if I was looking to see how long I can keep eggs in the refrigerator, you just tap on that, scroll down. There's several different options for eggs, egg dishes, egg substitute, eggnog. But here's eggs in a shell. Then you just tap on that. And it says for freshness and quality, this item should be consumed within 3 to 5 weeks. if refrigerated from the purchase date. So, you know, a lot of times people think that they need to throw them away after a week or so, but you actually have more time than that.
Mm-hmm. That is good to know with eggs, because you don't really, I don't know that there's really a date.
Sometimes there is, but, you know, it might be a little bit longer than that date, though. So use that app. There's also another website. It's called foodsafety.gov. And that's kind of a nice little list, too, because it goes through the different foods, and then it lists how many days they're good in the refrigerator or how long you can keep them in your freezer. So if you have a question about one of those things, you can just look it up on one of those apps or websites. And, of course, creating ideal storage conditions. You mentioned your drawers in your refrigerator. Mm-hmm. Well, there's a reason why we have those, because, you know, some of the fruits and vegetables that we have give off different gases that cause those foods to ripen, or they cause the foods next to them to ripen faster. So sometimes it's best to separate, you know, the fruits and vegetables, or like potatoes, it's a good idea to store those in a cool, dark area so those don't ripen any faster. That kind of slows down the ripening. So it's important to store them correctly. Also, store foods in the pantry so the products with closer dates are up front. So rotating the stock, you know, just like we do at the hospital in our kitchen. You know, when you get something new in, make sure you push the older foods to the front so you get rid of those. I think of my yogurt. I always have to look at those dates because the dates are always different on those, and make sure and put the ones that are going to expire first to the front. So let's see. And also when it comes to fruits and vegetables, I know we oftentimes say, you know, try to prep your foods ahead of time so it's easy to grab and go. But when it comes to perishable fruits, try not to wash those until you're ready to eat them. It makes them last a little bit longer, because if you get more moisture on them, then that causes more bacteria to grow. So if you can, when you have blueberries, just take a handful out at a time and rinse those off as you want to consume them. Other ways to go further with food is to be mindful of portions. And I know, as soon as I got my Costco card, I thought,
Can't live without it.
No, this is not a good thing for a single individual.
I understand that.
Yes, because you buy those big boxes of cereal or granola bars or different food, even fruits and vegetables, you know, they come in big containers, and you just don't go through them. So what do? You waste it. So, and yes, you might be getting a cheaper price, but if you're throwing half of it away, you're not saving any money. So, so that's just something to keep in mind.
Right. And I think you really have to be careful, you know, at those big box stores, because, you know, it's really got to be something that I use or eat regularly.
Right.
Because for one, storing it, you know, and two, like you say, the quantity that you get, like sometimes you just,
it's unrealistic if it's just for one person. So just being mindful of that. Even when we go out to eat, trying to order smaller portions, because sometimes that's just way too much food for you to eat. And if you do have leftovers, take it home for another meal, or ask for a to-go container before, you know, the meal even starts. And that way you can put half of it in there and you're not as tempted to go overboard. Again, learning how to properly can and dehydrate foods at home, especially if you have a garden. You know, try not to throw away all those leftover tomatoes in the fall. Try to can them or freeze them. Give them to your neighbors. Give them to a food pantry. All those things are a good idea, you know, instead of wasting that food. And considering composting. So that's always an idea to help stretch the food and it's healthy for our environment. So, you know, on a bigger scope, reducing food waste could significantly affect our environment. So it's the single largest component of the landfills, which I didn't realize that.
Learn something every day.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Food waste is also a misuse of our resources. So food that goes uneaten in the U.S., it uses up 16% of our cropland, 22% of our fresh water, and accounts for 24% of our landfill inputs and 6% of our greenhouse gas emissions. So, you know, that's not healthy for our environment. The population continues to grow. The demand of food will increase, as will the emissions, which is not healthy for our environment, unless more is done to control food loss and waste. So it's an estimated like 13.5 million households in the U.S. alone are food insecure. And that basically means that people not sure if they're going to have enough food, you know, for the whole month. So actually reducing food waste could help with this ongoing problem, you know, with reducing hunger and food insecurity in the United States, too. So, you know, that's another big picture that we don't really often think about.
You're right.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So now we're going to talk about I actually crossed off to be 9 because one of my wasn't real sure about, but 9 to 10 surprising foods you should actually refrigerate. So it's kind of an eye-opener. The first one, it really kind of depends on the tortilla shells. Because when I go home and look at my tortilla shells, there is no date on it to say.
Really?
Yes. Yeah. Or that you need to, not necessarily a date, but that you should put them in the refrigerator.
Oh, yes.
This is one I thought of. Yes. Because depending on which brand you buy.
Yes. Some of them do and some of them
right.
don't.
And some of them are actually in the refrigerated section
yes.
when you buy them.
Very
and
true.
Some are not.
Yeah.
So.
And they say they last longer, of course, when they're in the refrigerated section. But I tell you, tortillas last forever. I'm sure they have a lot of preservatives in them because they do last a long time. But that's one you just have to kind of watch for spoilage and obviously throw them out if they're moldy or, mm-hmm. or show signs. But the other one that was kind of interesting was salami or other cured meats. They're less likely to harbor bacteria than cooked meats. But that doesn't mean that they're always 100% safe. So refrigeration does slow down the potential bacteria growth. But people who have weakened immune systems should reheat ready-to-eat foods like luncheon meat and deli meats and store unopened salami in the refrigerator for up to 2 weeks. And then after open, they should be used within about 3 to 5 days. So, you know, a lot of people push the limits on those because mm-hmm. they think, you know, that they're processed and, oh, they'll last forever, but they really don't. So that's something to just be careful of. So ripened bananas. And I think this is kind of an interesting one because, you know, some people are kind of particular about their bananas. They don't want one spot on them. But
I find that to be very true.
But, you know, they're still good for you. So, right. Mm-hmm. And you open them up and they're just fine, right? So, and if
true.
There is a bruise on them, just cut it off and eat the rest. But what you can do is if you start seeing that they're starting to get a little spotty, throw them in the refrigerator. And then they'll really get dark, but just peel that away. And the inside remains good, and it slows down that ripening process. So if you don't think you're going to be getting to those bananas right away, put them in the fridge.
Yes. And that's a great way to use those really ripened bananas because
yeah.
I don't like to eat them. I don't like them green, but
right.
I like them
just
off
right.
of green. Yes.
Yeah, see, I'm telling
so
you.
So sometimes
are
when they get a little too far, I will do the same. Well, they may sit on my counter for a while, and then they get moved to the
yeah.
fridge. But they're great to put in a smoothie.
Absolutely. I
yes.
was just going to say that. Yeah, there's other ways of using them.
Yes.
So, you know, and my mom always used to use them for banana bread, but now we know banana bread isn't the healthiest for us, but smoothies are.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we can add a little bit of ice or yogurt or different things to it, other fruits. So, yeah, so that is a healthy option to not waste those bananas.
So true.
Nuts are very fragile. They have a lot of unsaturated fats in them, so they can go rancid really quickly. It's not going to hurt your health. It's definitely a bad news when it comes to flavor, though. We can definitely tell when we've eaten something that's rancid.
Mm-hmm.
So keep nuts tasting fresher by putting them in a sealed plastic container and sticking them in the refrigerator. And they last about 4 to 6 months. I know I keep mine in the freezer to keep them a little bit longer, too.
You do.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So that might be a way. And nuts are very expensive. You know, mm-hmm. they're very healthy for us, but expensive.
And that is something I will say that I will get at Costco or Sam's
yeah.
because I eat nuts every day.
Yes.
I mean, whether
it's
pistachios or almonds,
mm-hmm.
I kind of rotate through. I know some are healthier than others,
yeah.
but it is a good source of protein.
Absolutely.
And so I do like to mm-hmm. take advantage and get the bigger bag. So that's a good idea
yeah.
even to like break them up and put some in the freezer.
Sure.
And,
sure. Yeah. And obviously they thaw out really quickly.
Mm-hmm.
So you could even take which portion you need from the freezer bag and have it for work that day. So.
Right.
Maple syrup. I thought this was kind of interesting. It says it has a surprisingly short life if not stored correctly. So instead of having it sit in your pantry, they do encourage you to put it in the refrigerator. Storing it in the refrigerator usually makes it stay fresh a little bit longer. However, if you do see mold growth be sure to toss it immediately. Mm-hmm. But they do say that if you buy maple syrup in a glass bottle, it lasts a lot longer than in a plastic bottle. So I thought that was kind of interesting.
It is interesting.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Dried fruit, you know, we think that that lasts forever, too, because it has less moisture than the fresh fruit. But it does eventually spoil. So, again, keeping that in the refrigerator keeps it a little bit longer for up to 6 months. And ketchup, you know, we see ketchup at the restaurant sitting on the tables, and we think, well, it must be okay to just leave it on the counter, but not at home. At home, we need to really put that in the refrigerator and keep it in a cool place because it does lose its freshness. So if it's kept in the refrigerator, it lasts about 6 months. So if it is left out, it's just kind of a harbor for bacteria to grow. So,
mm-hmm.
And corn on the cob, it'll be corn on the cob season before you know it. Hmm. So after you pick it, it kind of loses its sugar content drastically if left at room temperature. So unless you're going to cook it right away, keep it in the refrigerator. And you can leave it in the husks and everything. And it will last 1 to 2 days that way. But try to keep that as fresh as long as possible. And chocolate syrup. I thought that was kind of interesting, too, that it can kind of develop a funny taste, too, after a while. So once you open that chocolate syrup, don't store it in your pantry. Chill yours after it's opened up and enjoy it for about 6 months. And the last one is pecan and pumpkin pie, which I was a little surprised about. Since it does contain eggs, these treats are a magnet for bacteria. So fresh out of the oven, it's okay to eat it at room temperature for up to 2 hours or 1 hour if it's really hot out, like 90 degrees or higher. But after that, you're supposed to put it right in the refrigerator and eat it within 3 to 5 days or 3 to 4 days. And then if you don't think you're going to eat it up by then, stick it in the freezer.
All right.
Great information, Christy.
Yeah.
Anything else you wish to share for today?
No, unless you have any questions for me.
I don't think I do. Do
you,
Pat?
Not really, but a lot of good eating tips.
Yes.
There today to learn all about pistachios and nuts and so on and so forth. Also about with the maple syrup.
Yeah.
Since people are just finishing up with their breakfast right now.
That's right. Mm-hmm. That's what to do with that maple syrup.
What to do with that maple syrup. Yes, indeed.
That's true. Well, always a pleasure to have you on the show, Christy. Like I said, you share good information, valuable tips and updates for all of us to apply to our daily eating habits. So thank you again for being on the program. And happy registered dietitian.
Well, thank you very much.
Same here.
Yes. Thank you.
And look for another great show coming up next week. Again, we have the Easter egg hunt coming up on March 30th, and we have some new physicians. And again, the same program that you're listening to right now, you can hear it on the podcast on kqradio.com and on through your iPhones and so on and so forth there, Lori.
Yes, check out our new podcast channel and just you go to your favorite podcast app and look for Focus on Health.
We'll look forward to that.
All right.
Christine and Lori, thanks very much for joining us today.
Thanks. Great to see you, Pat.
Thank you very much, Lori. And that does it for Focus on Health, brought to you by Vandy's Medical Center, where their focus is you. I'm Pat Powers. The time now, it's 8:58.